Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when this thought hits you. Okay, I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, the whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at Target.com/circle card. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only six numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these six numbers, 785-833. Here's your Sunday sampler. Get real with Caroline Hobby. She had Terry Clark on. Terry's awesome. Four things with Amy Brown. They're talking about resilience and hope after a tornado touchdown with this business of Camille Austin. The Bobby cast, I sat down with Grace Bowers. I want to start with this. She's 17 years old. She plays guitar. She played at our Million Dollar Show, and it's weird to say this about a 17-year-old, but she is a monster. And also far more mature than a normal 17-year-old. Just, she's so skilled at one thing, and she still is a kid, but I hope you listen to this interview. The stigma of her being young and a female guitar player working with Brothers Osborne. Here's a clip, and if you like it, go listen to the whole podcast. It's me with, guitar beast, Grace Bowers. So back to John Osborne for a second, who you guys worked together on your music, right?
Yeah, on the record.
When you're working with John, because John is such a great player, has such a great ear, is so proficient. He plays 4-minute solos on record versions of things. You know, he's so good. He's also such a good dude who values mental health. And if I were your mom, I'd be like, John Osborne is like the guy you want to be around as an influence. Mm-hmm. But when you're with him, like, what did you want your sound to be? Because there's a difference in being influenced by things. And like you said, playing things you memorize. What did you want your sound to be?
I came into him and I'm like, think like Funkadelic, Sly and the Family Stone, and the Meters. I want you to mash those all together. I want that. And the songs that we all wrote were kind of that style too, kind of like funk, soul, classic rock. And he totally understood. And I've been getting mixes all week. And
I could not
be happier with it.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
And so, when you say funk, soul, classic rock, and you say Sly and the Family Stone, I think of Sly and the Family Stone, a whole lot of people on a stage, all of them being really good individually. Mm-hmm. Like you could pull any of them off and they would be just so proficient at keys or drums or just different percussion, right? But that is quite the achievement to want to be like that and then feel like, hey, we kind of accomplished where it's heavily influenced by Sly. Mm-hmm. But it's also so 70s.
Yeah, very.
And visual, it's kind of your visual vibe too a bit.
Yeah.
Any chance you're like an old dude who died in the 70s and came back to life as a kid and like they like put you in the wrong body? Because when you said Sly and the Family Stone, like even now your vibe now is that. Has that always been like the fashion, the era that you liked and felt most comfortable?
No, actually. Well, when I heard Slash for the first time, that got me really into hair metal.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 or 4 years, it was only hair metal. It was like Warrant, Rat, Motley Crue, like the cheesiest stuff you can imagine. I loved it. And so that's what I listened to.
Why'd you love it so much, do you think?
Honestly, because I still love it. I will still go back and listen to it sometimes. As like, I'm not going to say it's a guilty pleasure because I like it and I'm not guilty about it. But it was kind of all I knew at the time. Like, I didn't, like, I wasn't around, like, different kinds of music to, like, I wasn't exposed to it. Like, I moved out here and I heard bluegrass for the first time because, and I had no idea that was even, like, a thing. So.
And when you moved here, you were already playing guitar, right?
Yeah.
So, but when you hear bluegrass, and it's, bluegrass is, it's very quick.
Very, yeah.
Mandolin, I mean, it's, and you, as a musician, even at a young age, some people may go, oh, you heard bluegrass, nah, nah, nah. But bluegrass is really complicated.
Oh, it's insane. I can't play a lick of bluegrass.
When you would hear bluegrass, would that inspire you to try to get better in a certain way? Or was it like, man, I don't know. I don't know. How did bluegrass influence you? Because it's so hard.
Well, there is a banjo sitting in my room because I thought I was going to learn how to play the banjo after seeing a bluegrass show at the Station Inn. And didn't really work out.
You get the fake one, the ganjo. Six stringer. Yeah.
That's probably what I should have gotten instead.
Yeah. Some of my friends play that and they're like, look, I'll play the banjo. And I'm like, wow. And they're like, not really. It's six strings. It's just it's a fake banjo. Do you get a lot of people sending you free guitars now?
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine they're in the
I have too many guitars at this point.
Yeah, I would imagine. Everybody wants you to play their guitar on social media or something, but then not give you money to actually be the endorser.
Yeah.
They just want to send you the guitars.
I don't know. I feel like I'm okay with that. I'll take free guitars any day.
You'll take them, but you may not get on Instagram and play them.
Correct.
Do you have a favorite? What's your favorite guitar?
My 61 SG.
Now, when you say 61, that's 1961.
Mm-hmm.
How we have an old Bronco that's from before I was born. We've changed out a lot of the parts.
Mm-hmm.
In a 61 SG, and I'm talking about things I don't know now. Is it all, except for the strings, is it original parts for the most part?
On mine it is, yeah. I haven't changed anything about it since I got it. I don't want to. People like people would tell me like, oh, it needs a new bridge. It needs to be refretted. I'm like, it still sounds okay. I don't want to change it.
Do you travel with it?
I do, but I am going to, Gibson is going to make, like, they're going to, like, scan it and make a replica of it to bring out to festivals and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, something that precious.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, I don't want to be traveling with it.
Especially
so
if it's been around since the 60s. Right, it's not, yeah, like, a lot of bumping's going to be good
fragile,
for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cast up, roll things. Little food for your soul, man. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful, man. Laugh a little more, man. Tighten up your core, man. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
Hey, it's Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown, and here's what we talked about this week on my podcast.
Basically what happened was we were at our biggest event of the year, tornado warning, watch starts happening. Immediately, my first concern went to my home. You know, my husband's there. We have five dogs. And so I just kept in touch with him, and people were looking at the map, and they were like, yo, this is right by your house. Like, is everything okay? And so once I got the all clear from Kevin, I just kind of put it out of my mind. I didn't even think about the warehouse. I was like, oh, we're all good. It's passed. And probably about 20 minutes later, I got a call from a friend, and they had been parking their food truck at my warehouse right around the back, and they were building a new trailer also. And they called me, and I thought, oh, I wonder if something happened to their trailer. Like, I wasn't even still not thinking about my business. Andy, who called, is usually like a pretty like jovial person, and the minute I heard the tone of his voice, I was like, oh man, something's not good, you know? And so he just kind of said, hey, has anybody said anything to you about your warehouse? And I was like, no. And he's like, yeah, it's pretty bad. I was like, is it like bad? Like it just looks bad, or is everything ruined? And he's like, it's really bad. me and my friend Allison, who also owns a business in Porter East, and we own the candy shop together, which is crazy. So our warehouses are in the same complex. And so we both just hopped in a car, drove up there, and as soon as we got close to it, we were like, oh, this is, it was like out of a movie. I know people say that, but to pull up on a place that you go every day and to see it just absolutely decimated, like the entire corner of her building was missing. The building across from me was completely leveled. And then so our building, it was kind of okay on the front end, but it had, the tornado had kind of come across the back and just completely ripped the roof off. And ultimately what happened was not only just the tornado winds, but it ended up raining with no roof for the rest of the night, you know, so everything inside was ruined. There were like transfers from hats over here that we had, I had just picked up like a couple $1,000 worth of thread. The like thread and string were everywhere. Our shipping materials were hanging from the rafters. And so, yeah, we looked at it that night. There were like fire trucks everywhere and there was like a couple gas leaks. And so ultimately I just decided there's literally nothing I can do tonight. That's when I made the video that was on my Instagram account. And the reception I got from that video, it, honestly, I was like, I just sound like a bumbling idiot because I really was like, I don't know what's going on, but I just feel like I need to say something because a lot is going to have to change really quickly because it was the holiday season. We had orders on the website that we hadn't shipped out that were like Christmas gifts for people. So
how did people respond to that? Because you would hope they're like, okay, yeah, we totally get it. Was anybody like, what? My order's not coming?
Some people we just didn't hear from and that was fine, but everybody was very, very kind. And I got back up there the next day and I very quickly realized that the building wasn't going to be secure. And I had a couple of expensive things in there that I didn't know whether they still worked or not. I got a U-Haul and just piece by piece started picking up anything that I thought would be of value and that I didn't want to leave overnight. Because sadly, you know, you start to get looters and people coming in for scrap metal and stuff like that, which everybody's got to make a living. But yeah. You know, the way I look at it is, you know, that stuff that was left there, you know, a lot of my inventory is still up there. It's just sitting there. You know, at this point, they've put up like a big gate and I'm guessing they're going to tear the building down. But everything was kind of covered in insulation, which, you know, is not good for clothing. It gets itchy. So people were like, I'll come wash it. And I'm like, it's not this kind of party. Like, we just need to scrap.
That has to feel good. So to get a response like that, we'll come up there. We'll help you. We'll wash the stuff. I mean, even just looking at your Instagram, the outpour of support. Yeah. How does that make you feel in this community that you built?
I mean, that's the thing is for the shop, the sense of community is the most important thing to me. And we have done a lot of things for the community. I think that was the hardest and strangest part was to then receive that help and to get that back. Like even the day after, the folks that run Porter Flea, they're like, we want to set up a GoFundMe for you and Allison. And both of us were like, no. And we're like, let's wait, let's see what insurance. And one of the founders of Porter Flea, he actually had a fire that destroyed his workshop. And he's like, listen, I'm telling you, you're going to have insurance, but he's like, there's going to be other stuff. There's going to be things that you're not thinking of. And there's going to be things that you need to take care of. And so we kind of reluctantly said yes, and it ended up just being such a big saving grace for both of us. So just swallowing my pride a little bit in that moment and letting people help. And I had a friend, Megan, she's like, I know you're not going to let me come up there to help you. And so she didn't even ask. She had been to the warehouse one or two times and she just showed up and there she was. And I like couldn't send her home, and her kids like helped me haul stuff and move stuff. And yeah, I'll never forget like those moments. Those are something that'll stick with me for a long time.
What encouragement do you have for anybody else that's going through anything in life and they have a hard time receiving? Like, and they're givers, because I know how much you care about community and how much you give. But yeah, I can tell even as you're saying it, that receiving is difficult for you, and you're not alone in that. But what encouragement do you have for people that might feel the same?
I mean, I think I would just tell anyone, like, the joy that you get from helping people, like it's okay to let other people have that moment. You know, that's what I really realize is I'm the one who, when things happen, I'm like, what do you need? What can I do? And I'm getting something out of that because I want to help and that fills something for me. And it's only fair to let other people do that for you also, as hard as it is. And then, you know, when you're back on your feet, you can get back to doing it the other way around like you like to. But I think the universe and our world is all about balance. And I think as much as you want to give, sometimes it's okay to take a little bit.
I think sometimes when we don't allow others to come in, it's exactly that. We rob them of that opportunity.
Yeah. And connection, you know, there's so many people that I feel like have already contributed to us, you know, getting back on our feet, and they'll forever have a connection to me and the business. And I think that that's important, just as important as, you know, money or lifting a hand, just like that feeling that we'll always have between each other, just knowing like, oh, that person did something really cool in a moment that I really needed it.
I'm working on it hard, like I'm investing a lot of time in trying to get quality sleep. Quality sleep is essential. I love my Sleep Number smart bed because I don't have to worry about that part. Because my Sleep Number smart bed is designed for, well, now my ever-evolving sleep needs as I'm trying to figure out what's happening with me physically. Like, I'm on a CPAP now. You can choose what's right for you and your partner. Because I'm talking about temperature, I'm talking about firmness, I'm talking about softness. Whatever it is, it's there for you. You can have different, and that saves a fight. There you go. You're welcome. So my Sleep Number setting is 30. My Sleep IQ score last night was 87. I mean, it's great for partners because, again, you always like, bed's too hot, room's too cold, whatever that is. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer, but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but, you know, somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in Hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight and visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Hey, it's Mike D, and this week on Movie Mike's Movie Podcast, my wife Kelsey and I broke down the best and worst movies we saw in the last 30 days. We always go see all the new movies out in theaters and streaming at home, so we give you the idea of what to watch and what to skip. So here's just a little bit from that episode, but make sure to check out the entire thing so you can hear all our recommendations and all the movies to skip. All right, we'll kick it off now, getting right into the best and worst. Kelsey, you started off. What was the best thing you saw in March?
Driveaway Dolls.
And that was the movie about the two girls who take a trip down to Tallahassee, realize they have something in their car that some criminals want. And it's a pretty wacky movie, but I also like that aspect of it.
It's wacky. It's raunchy. Listen, it's no secret that I love a female-led raunchy comedy. My favorite movie of all time is Bridesmaids.
Those are kind of making a comeback right now.
I think it's great. Listen, we have so many raunchy dude movies. That's always been the genre. American Pie, mm-hmm. Superbad, Wedding Crashers, The Hangover. I'm probably missing like 17 more.
I agree with that. And I think this is a really good movie. One that I feel like will probably go unnoticed a little bit because it was a smaller budget movie.
But maybe it will pop off on streaming like Booksmart did.
I think it definitely will. I think comedies in general will have a better run in streaming just because this movie didn't have the biggest leads attached to it. Although Margaret Qualley.
Beanie Feldstein.
Yeah, I just feel like in the grand scheme of people not who are going to sell tickets, probably not going to. But once it goes to streaming, I feel like comedies do better there. The problem is if a comedy just goes on to streaming and doesn't really make money, it's hard to make another movie like that again. And I think that's the reason we see less and less comedies is because they're not as profitable. Therefore, studios don't want to invest in them because they really don't get a whole lot out of them. Even though for a movie like Driveaway Dolls, that is a good movie. On paper, you look at the numbers and you think, oh, that movie flopped, which is not the case all the time. So hopefully once that movie goes to streaming, it does pretty well. For my best of the month, it was kind of along the same lines of Driveaway Dolls. It is Love Lies Bleeding, which you didn't go see with me.
I did not. I was out of town.
But it's the Kristen Stewart movie. I feel like the plot is a little bit similar as far as being two female leads dealing with a type of crime, except Love Lies Bleeding has the A24 treatment. And in this case, is a lot more dramatic, a lot more violent, not that same comedic tone as Driveaway Dolls. But I feel like the audience for both of those movies are probably a little bit of the same. And this was a movie I went into just loving the aesthetic of it. I have like a weird fascination with Kristen Stewart as an actress.
I'm here for the Kristen Stewart renaissance.
I think this movie should start her comeback. Not that she ever really fully went away.
Yeah, but it was hard because she did Twilight and it was one of those where you do one project and mm-hmm. it starts your career and it's what the only thing you're ever known as. And I'm like, did we really think that a movie about a high schooler marrying a vampire, having a baby who ends up being imprinted on by her werewolf best friend was anyone's showcase of talent? No.
But it put her on the map.
Put her on the map. But I think that she is such a talented actress and I'm excited to see her getting better roles. And her press tour for this has been really fun. I just watched part of her interview that she did with Seth Meyers and it was really funny because she has that like such good, just like deadpan humor. Mm-hmm. She's so good at that. And you can't tell if sometimes she's being serious or facetious. And I find that hilarious.
And kind of along the same lines of her co-star in Twilight, Robert Pattinson, who has also had that same struggle of not being viewed as Edward from Twilight. I think it was hard for people to even see him cast as Batman because they just saw him as the vampire.
But he was great.
But he was so good in that.
Are they making another one of those?
Yes, it got delayed another year, so probably won't come out. It was supposed to come out next year, probably won't come out until 2026. That movie takes so long to film, and it was kind of along the same lines of what happened with the first one. I would rather them take their time, get filming started, and make it great than just try to rush it and put it out next year. I think there's also a lot of restructuring happening right now on the DC side of James Gunn taking over. He's trying to build something and not confuse audiences, which I think is their biggest struggle right now because they're going to come back out with another Superman movie and then people are going to associate it with the Superman movie from 10 years ago. And then if he has a Batman in that world, the other Batman is going to, it's going to be a lot of confusing even for people who are dialed in. That is our best of March. Now, what was your worst?
People aren't going to like me for this. It was Dune 2.
I found a lot of people agreed with me in thinking that movie was quite boring.
It didn't do it for me. It wasn't even, the plot's not bad. The movie's not bad. I just was bored.
It's just boring. At the end of the day, it is just boring.
I came home and did like a, no pun intended, a Wikipedia wormhole about Dune. Mm-hmm. Rabbit hole, whatever you want to call it. And I was like, still don't get it. I get that it's like critically acclaimed, but I still don't get it.
I get the majority of it. I get its intention. It is a commentary, almost like a spiritual commentary of like somebody being the chosen one, people choosing to rally behind that person kind of living up to that. You have this whole religious war going on in the film. But I just found myself thinking, like, I don't care either way what happens to these characters. And aside from the visual aspect of Dune and the action aspect, I think those fight sequences are really great. There's just nothing really to grasp onto. And with a movie that has such an amazing cast, all those people individually are great and could lead their own movie, but the fact that they're all in one movie, that mixed with the great director, it should be my favorite movie of the year. I just feel like you have to be a really big film nerd to really enjoy Dune. And I'm not that level of nerd. And if you are that level of nerd, more power to you, because I feel like being alive at a time where this is happening right now, and you can watch one, you can watch two, and anticipate that they're going to make three, it's a great time to be a Dune fan. With all these 80s movies coming back, that's probably the one that the people are most hype on. For me, I just don't get it. I'm not into it. So I agree with you in being one of the worst that we saw last month.
What's on your mind? She's getting real, not afraid to feel. Take a soul to soul, just let it flow. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey y'all, it's Caroline Hobby from Get Real with Caroline Hobby, and here is a clip from this week's episode.
Okay, so when was the moment you have all your whole life has been geared up for your life that you're living? Like, you're one of those people that it's like, from the second you had thoughts about who you are as a human being to you knew you want to be a country singer, and you started putting steps in play to make that happen. You had a mother to support you. Mm-hmm. But like, as soon as you had real thoughts, this was your destiny. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what is it like your whole life has been this? And this has been your whole dream, and it's come true. What is it like, though? When did you, since you've been in your dream your whole life, when did you know that your dream had come true?
I think after Better Things to Do became a hit.
So first single was a hit.
Yes.
Straight out of the gate.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Oh, it was surreal. It was just like all of this planning and all of the sacrifice and the starving, literally going, you know,
and aloneness.
And I got married when I was 20.
Wait, you met someone in Nashville and got married?
Yes. Yeah. And
who did you marry?
A fiddle player. And he, to protect the names of the innocent, I call him Starter Kit during my show because I don't want to.
Starter Kit marriage?
Yeah.
You know, no. You're at 20.
More than a starter kit. We were married for quite a while, 7 years, I think 6 or 7 years.
Was it a nice marriage?
Yes, it was fine. We were just young.
Too young.
Very young. And and when things started happening in my career, we really grew apart, and we were having some difficulties with communication and things leading up to that. So
who doesn't when they're in their 20s?
Yeah, if I were you, the song I wrote was about my marriage at that time. And I was talking to my friends about it, and they were like, I would go to my friends for marriage counseling. It was free marriage counseling. So I would always call them when I was complaining, and some had good advice, some had bad advice. And I wrote that song about talking to my friends.
What is the best advice? I actually have a friend who's struggling with her marriage right now, and I don't feel like I've been giving good advice to her because she's got a kid, and I'm like, you gotta fight for the marriage. You gotta fight for the kid. But like, maybe that's not what you're supposed to do as a friend.
I think asking whoever you're talking to put yourself in your significant other's shoes.
Put
yourself in that other person's shoes for a minute.
Like me,
truly.
As my friend?
No. If you're having trouble with your spouse, put yourself in his shoes just for a minute and honestly try and just look at it from that person's point of view. And then you can kind of not just be so insular in how you're thinking about, because a relationship is 50-50. Like, you're responsible for 100% of your 50%. And
yeah,
they're responsible for 100%
we're doing math
of
right
their
now,
50%.
Terry?
I know. I failed at math. I don't know why I'm bringing numbers into this.
You are 100% responsible for your 50% of the marriage.
Of the marriage. So
if you're going to end the marriage, you got to end it as best you can.
But you also need to put yourself in your spouse's shoes and make sure you're looking at it from every angle instead of just your own.
But what if you just don't love them anymore, but you respect them as a human?
Yeah, that's hard. That's the tough thing. When that goes, it's hard to salvage that.
Can you bring the love back?
Some people do, with a lot of therapy and those whatever imago things they call them, and workshops of some sort, I guess. But
how do you know when it's time to let it go, though? And are you glad you did?
I think if you've exhausted everything, I think I wouldn't be who I am today. If I'd have stayed in that, and I don't think it wasn't abusive. He was a lovely person. I have nothing bad to say about him at all.
It probably was nice to have that comfort when you were that young.
Him and his family, I might have wound up moving back to Canada and given up if it weren't for them, because I felt so lonely, so alone, so isolated from anything that I knew. Everyone, my whole family, I was alone here.
So you landed with foreign a good country. Person.
Yeah, very good person. And it just, we just parted ways and mm-hmm. grew apart. And when my career took off, it was kind of the nail in the coffin that was already, it was a bit of a sinking ship, and it sort of was like somebody just, you know, threw a 3-ton weight on that ship, and that was my career. It just sank it. And I don't blame my career. I just think that it just sped that process up.
For me, as a friend who I have someone going through this situation you were in, what kind of support do you want from your friends when you are going through a divorce? Like, what, you don't want your friend telling you what to do, right? Because I've been the friend where I'm like, you need to get in therapy. You need to try to like salvage it for the kid. Yeah. You need to work on it. But I don't think that's working well.
I don't think telling them what to do is the answer. I think letting them process with you, and you just have to actually be there. They will figure it out. Sometimes people just have to say something out loud, just a trusted source that they can count on, not to judge them or try to fix it. They just want you to listen, mm-hmm. and they will start saying things, and they'll be, oh my God, what did I just say? Well, I just answered my own question. And it's free therapy. A lot of times you got to pay a therapist to tell you these same things, when you just have it's hard for friends to be unbiased though, because they love you and they're on your side always. They've mm-hmm. always got your back. So that's the only thing, you know, they're emotionally invested in, where a therapist isn't. Well, we're going deep here.
I feel like you've been surrounded by great people though. Like, you've picked great people.
My friends, my core group of friends that I have to this day, the ones that would help me bury the body, the ones that I would call in the middle of the night, are mostly people that I have known for 30 plus years.
Wow. That says a lot about you.
That I've known since I was in junior high with, like since I was 12. And
wow.
Yeah, really.
So you're true blue.
Oh, for sure. They're not in any way, shape or form associated with the music business.
Except for Reba. I mean, she's your bestie. I mean, she's kind of associated.
I love Reba, and I consider her a true friend.
I know.
I do. And
y'all like do grill out.
But let me tell you something. Reba is no different than those girls that I've known my whole life.
She's a true blue person.
She is just not affected by any of that fame and that.
You can tell.
She's so grounded.
She's like Toby Keith too, though, and like she's just Reba. She just is who she is.
She cuts to the chase.
Cuts to the chase.
There's no BS. There's no like, you know, floating around a subject. She'll just cut to the chase. And those are my friends. They're honest, and I just want honest friends.
Let's do it live. We are the 1, 2, 3 Sore Losers. What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What up, y'all? It is Sizzin. I'm from the north. I'm an alpha male. I live on the west side of Nashville with Baser, my wife. We do have a white picket fence at the apartment complex. Soon I'm going to have 2.5 kids. And yes, sadly, I will die of a heart attack when I'm 72 years old. Here's a clip from the last podcast.
And then they're like, hey, you can go back to the locker room. I'm like, all right, cool. Let's go ahead and go back to the locker room. So
you're talking about Preds.
Yeah, the Bruins. We walk down there and walk down the tunnel, walk right in the visitor's locker room with all the players, dude.
Yeah, you, me, JoJo, their whole clan,
Brandon,
crew, yeah.
Jessica. And no one stopped us. It was like we own the place.
Brandon, thanks for the audio, bud.
We look like a bunch of ragtag misfits, but we did wear our Bruins chain, and we had our Bruins foam finger at the open practice.
That was clutch. That's why you always keep gifts that people get you. They did lose out in the playoffs last year. We thought, hey, when is this gift going to come back around? It did, because we're going to go backstage and be with the Bruins.
pretty freaking awesome. So Jessica, when she tells you, hey, I'm going to get you something, Jessica gets you something. Thank you, Jessica. Here is our interview from the Bruins locker room.
I wasn't done saying
it. Oh, go ahead.
Also, we walk in the locker room. Dudes are half clothed. I think the one guy was snapping towel ass. Guys, are we good to be in here?
Yeah, Ray was like, are we allowed to video in here? I was like, I don't think we should take video in here until everybody's dressed.
They were derobed.
It was I never been, hey, can I be honest? I'd never been in the locker room when they're changing.
Well, and they are, and there's lady reporters in there.
But lady reporters just had to be professional.
Right. I mean, I think, yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
And
the one guy had a black eye.
Dude had a big old black eye. He had a shiner on his left eye.
I didn't want to look at him, so I just.
Oh, I stared at the black eye. I was like, damn, this dude's tough.
And then they had they had drinks in there. Every Gatorade you can imagine, every Prime, the Logan Paul brothers, Powerades.
They had to have some kind of like mixed drink, like a.
It was an amped up
vitamin
version
drink, yeah,
of a Gatorade. And then they had gum, whatever. Maybe they chew gum while they're playing, because our guy, Coyle, he was rocking a piece of gum. Didn't know if that was our access or not. Maybe we didn't have access to the gum. We had access to everything else.
Yeah, they had hockey sticks. I guess the laundry dudes were already starting to hang their jerseys
for the
game.
He handed me a jock, and I said, is this Coyle's? And then I held it up, and it was smaller. So it was definitely one of the other guys.
I mean, it was fantastic. So, I mean, it was so fun. I mean,
Coyle actually liked us, too.
He did.
And he scored a goal in the game after this interview.
That is impressive. We should have bet. We should have asked him, hey, dude, should we bet on you to score a goal tonight?
Bro, I didn't bring that crap up at all. I didn't even mention it in the locker room. All my questions were, hey, just dumb betting. Because sometimes that's all that's in my head. And I knew you can't. That's so taboo. Never bring up betting around athletes.
I'm too scared. I don't want to get them in any trouble.
Bro, Calvin Ridley was out of the game for 8 months for betting. So I don't even talk about it. I'm like, I turn my phone off.
Like, don't even joke.
No, I didn't even joke. I'm just like, even though we were in the BetMGM lounge.
We were in the BetMGM lounge talking to the Bruins, but we can't talk betting, and they're not allowed to bet, which is so it's wild that every commercial is a bet, but hey, players, don't bet. This, your locker room is the BetMGM locker room, but don't bet. Hey, the Predators, yours is a DraftKings locker room, but you can't bet.
Dude, we were shaking hands with everybody.
Dude, those hockey players, kind of big.
Some of them are short, though. PK Subban, really short.
Yeah.
But yeah, Coyle was tall.
He was huge.
And he was actually jacked, too.
He was, I mean.
Because you can get away in hockey. You got the big jersey, you know. It's not like you're revealing your body too much. I bet some of them can have a little bit of a gut. Dude, Coyle was doing the P90X or whatever they're doing nowadays, the Peloton. What's Bones do? He does that outdoor workout, working out with trees and the pavement and shit.
That's called the caveman workout.
Yeah. Dude, that's what they're doing, man.
Yeah. So here's our interview. Hopefully you enjoy it. And, yeah, I mean, we are now hockey people.
Oh, yeah. And
go hockey.
I asked Coyle, I said, hey, man, are you f***ing with the ice bath? Do you guys f*** with that? And he answered it.
Yeah. And I asked him, do you read this specific book? Like, is this what inspired you to like hockey? And he answered it.
Do not remember that. Wow.
I feel special being with you guys. Like I said, I listen to you guys all the time and every morning, me and my wife. And we love it. You guys make mornings fun. And, yeah, I might not be up that early, but I think I'm on the rerun or on the podcast or whatever, but I still love listening, and so I'm glad you guys are here.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, I got to tell you, I got a question, because some of me, I'm a little bit hockey dumb. Okay, like, I watch hockey, because we didn't have hockey growing up in Texas. We had, like, a minor league team, and I went and watched the fights. So my question is, what, you guys get called for roughing. You are rough the whole game. What is roughing?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't even know. I think I might be hockey dumb too, because I can't even answer that question. Sometimes you're just a little too rough. I don't know. I'm not a ref. That's a tough job. I just try to play and try to be rough but not too rough. It's try to find that line. I don't know. It's tough sometimes, but I know you guys like the fights, and
that's how
we get the fans. It's a fight first, and then.
Because the playoffs, I watched the playoffs. I used to, when I was a kid, I'd watch Mario Lemieux, you know, till 2 in the morning, because they'd go to 4 OTs, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I got to go to school in the morning, but I got to find out who won. They don't fight in the playoffs.
No, it kind of dies down a little bit, because you don't sometimes fight, and you can take stupid penalties, and then you're in the box, the team goes in the power play, you score, and then boom, momentum switches. So playoffs are a big deal, so it kind of dies down, and but it does get rough in the playoffs. I think it gets a little rough when the refs kind of let that go a little more.
I got a question. So I'm from Michigan, so I know the A and all that and how those people talk and stuff. But I moved there late, and all the dudes were already on ice. Did you start on rollerblades, or how did that go? Because I was just late to the game.
I did a little of both. I think I started on the ice, though, but they kind of went hand in hand. So you go to the rink, you play. I loved it when I started, so I started on the ice. And then at home, just being around around the house with the neighborhood kids, you get on the blades. And so I love doing both.
Did you ever want to be, not saying you were like, what are the ones on ice, the figure skaters? Did you ever think going
that direction? Oh, yeah, like at the Olympics, you know what I mean? You have a partner like Nastia Lukin. No, she's a gymnast. Krista Yamaguchi.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
No, you know, I had two older sisters, and one played hockey, and one did a little figure skating. I kind of shied away from that. I liked the hockey, but there were guys who I grew up playing against, guys in the NHL now. I think Jeff Skinner is one of them. He grew up figure skating. And he's one of the best skaters in the league. So I kind of envy that now. Kind of wish I did figure skating growing up.
Hey, thanks, Sunday Sampler. Really, this is a way for you to hear, not even have to listen to our whole podcast to see if you like it. If you like a little piece of it, well, then you go check it out. Thank you. New episodes out basically every day. There's something new to listen to with anything on the Nashville Podcast Network. Movie, sports, music, lifestyle, health, all that. Subscribe, rate, and review, and have a good week. Bye, everybody. Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Canva is awesome for so many reasons, for your social media, but for work. If you're looking for ways to impact at work, Canva can help your points get across. All right, Mike, what do we use it for? Like one sheets, if we're doing like a presentation, graphics?
Oh, it's awesome for graphics. Super easy to use.
And that's the thing too, especially with some of these apps, you think, well, there's no way I'll be able to use it. Well, me, because I'm a dummy. But even I can use Canva to make things look cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to insult me and say yeah so quickly.
Yeah, you can do it. Yes. It's awesome.
So it's easy to design impactful Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, videos. Start with a designer-made template, which makes it so easy, especially for me. Customize with your content. You can add images and graphics and charts. Start designing today at canva.com. Design for work.